The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, everybody. It's 8 a.m. straight up. Made it to a Friday, September the 17th, 2021. Much cooler morning. Great motorcycle ride morning. Going to meet everyone when the show's over. It's going to be colder today, 75. And on Saturday, hot again, 92. And then Sunday, maybe some afternoon storms, back to work, 73. On Monday, briefly on the website, 710knus.com/Peter Boyles. Episode 3 of The Shoot dropped at 6 o'clock this morning with Sean Duffy. The MC won Honor Run. And we had Crystal Baldwin on the radio show this morning, who was married to Dave Baldwin, is a week from Sunday at Columbine. We'll talk more about that. In the meantime, welcome back to the radio show. This business is such a is just so much fun to do, and I love to read, and I'm always getting sent books. So I don't know when I got Lone Star Speaks, and I was about three-quarters of the way, halfway through it, maybe because I'm drawn to the Kennedy assassination. And we had Cantana Zachary on the show. She's back. I'll tell you, you're terrific. Good morning. Thank you for coming back on the radio show one more time, and welcome to Denver.
Oh, thank you, Peter. I'm glad to talk to you again.
No, I just love what you've written. And, you know, I have this theory, if I ever could have time, that from the moment that John Kennedy dies in Dealey Plaza, hit or assassinated, what anybody wants to call it, till the second that Richard Nixon resigns, it, as a kind of history reader, it sets the stage for so much. Do you buy that theory?
Definitely. Things change dramatically, at least as far as the public knew.
Yeah. I don't know where to begin because I don't know where we left off. One of the things that you do write about, which has always intrigued me, is the relationship between both of the Kennedys and Marilyn Monroe. I believe Marilyn Monroe was killed. What do you believe?
I would not doubt that a bit.
Why? Why was she killed?
I'm afraid that she talked too much. And I'm afraid that people shared information with her that they wish they hadn't shared later. And she wasn't reliable about keeping secrets. And, you know, a woman scorned is apt to say things that she would regret later, but she might not regret them as much as the people who she talks about. So I think she knew some things she was going to talk about, and she shouldn't have let that be known.
There were events leading up to that day. And if I were to ask you who killed John Kennedy or was a hit on Jack Kennedy, or an assassination, there are those different terms that are used, how would you answer that?
I would say there were at least four groups of individuals involved, a group that organized it, a group that financed it, a group that executed it, and a group that had to conceal it. And they all used plausible deniability because none of them knew the complete plan, and that way they didn't have to admit anything.
That's very smart. When Marilyn Monroe dies, and I personally believe – And what was a great line in some of those books and some of the people who actually spoke? All the same kind of ideology that you just talked about, everybody had a reason to kill her. Certainly Bobby Kennedy did, and he was there. Don't let him lie out of it. Peter Lawford, there's a book about Peter Lawford. And so you know this stuff. And so she had to go. She was in the way. Who else was in the way?
Well, obviously Bobby Kennedy, but if you couldn't get to him, the best way to just get to his brother.
I believe that too. And that has to do with organized crime, right?
Yes, among other things. The military weren't happy with the Kennedys either.
I agree. We talked about that sort of 7 days in May after the Bay of Pigs, correct?
Yeah.
Tell that story.
Kennedy was familiar with that script. I think he had read it even before it was made into a movie. Mm-hmm. And he allow them, he left the White House one weekend and allowed them to even shoot in the White House. Mm-hmm. And his concern was, he said, I can see this happening.
Yes.
And he was speaking from experience, his own military.
Yeah. When pigs happened, Curtis LeMay, and I'm a geek about all this stuff, LeMay and others wanted to invade Cuba. Is that your phone or mine? Could be, because we had bad phones this morning.
Mine. I'm turning it off.
Okay. Could be ours, too. LeMay and the Joint Chiefs of Staff wanted to go to war almost immediately. I mean, LeMay, I guess we got down to DEFCON. LeMay wanted to go. And Jack Kennedy signs the agreement, the Truman, the Monroe Doctrine, the Truman Corollary, and he allows, he makes the agreement that Fidel Castro can stay in power. The missiles will come out of Turkey, stuff the American people never knew. But but those guys, why? They knew. And I think it sets up there, too.
Yes. Let's think about it. The poor men that died and were captured in Cuba may not have known the inside goings on, but other people did. And I think what was frightening to some of the military was that they, and let's remember, we're not that far away from the Joe McCarthy era.
That's right.
They were still terrified of communism infiltrating America. And I think they thought Kennedy was soft on communism, mm-hmm. that the idea of using diplomacy rather than weapons was absurd because they had a military background. Fighting is all they knew. And you can see things from both points when you look back at that time period. But it's really a frightening concept to think that the President of the United States is the commander-in-chief only in name if the military doesn't follow his orders.
And look what's happening with these stories coming out, and I don't mean to take away, but inside of the Trump administration in the final days. And inside of the Kennedys, we know from reading and people's accounts how upset the JCS was with Jack and Bobby Kennedy.
Oh, yes.
Also with Nixon. You know, it's interesting. They hid the football from Nixon when he's alcoholic.
I know.
Talk about that. Talk about the football and Nixon.
Well, the idea that, and these are from insiders, Bill Moyers,
yeah.
Dick Goodwin,
people
who had worked for both Kennedy and Johnson, they knew also what was going on with Nixon. The people inside realized Nixon had literally become paranoid. And someone who is paranoid is not thinking rationally. And you shouldn't have your finger on the button that could send nuclear weapons if you can't be rational about a situation.
Yeah, I mean, even in those missile silos, it took two or three keys, you know, all the different stuff. Nobody could do it on their own. And according even to Kissinger, and Kissinger, about Nixon asking him to, and he was a Jewish guy, and they wanted him to get on his knees and pray, and that's, and he's drunk. How crazy do you think that really was?
I would say it was terribly frightening from the inside, because somebody had to make decisions. And what if, of course, he had a similar situation at times with Kennedy because he was on so much medication.
Mm-hmm.
But in that case, there wasn't any doubt. It wasn't Johnson making decisions.
No.
It would have been Bobby Kennedy.
I agree.
But President Nixon didn't have that loyal, an associate who could say, I know this is what he would want done. I cannot imagine how frightening that must have been to think I may have to make a life and death decision because he's not capable of it.
Cantana Zachary, it's a must-read, Lone Star Speaks. I read all the Watergate stuff, too. I'm drawn to that as well. And I think maybe it's Ehrlichman, but I know that he was at Fort Huachuca doing time. And it's someone who always wrote, in the end, Nixon was alone. In the end, he was alone. Trump was not alone in the end, and Jack Kennedy's life has ended. And they asked him, and they said, what was Nixon like? And he said, I don't know. And he'd been with Nixon for 3 years or three and a half, didn't know Nixon. I mean, what a great insight.
I think that's very true.
Me too.
He probably wouldn't have been the only one to say that.
Yeah.
I'm sure his family knew him on a different level, but I'm not sure how well they really knew him either.
What do you do with Nixon? I mean, I love you. I'm going to book you every 2 weeks, but what do you do with Nixon?
Well, they managed to get him to resign and without coming out and actually saying so. I don't know whether – have you read the book called It Didn't Begin with Watergate?
Yes, I did. I have read that book.
Okay.
Yes, all right.
That's an interesting point that I think Nixon knew so many things that had been going on from previous administrations that he didn't think this what was going on was that big a deal.
Yeah.
Compared to executing, the heads of state in other countries, what was the big deal about breaking into a hotel and blah, blah, blah. And, he didn't realize that I think people had it up to their ears with secrecy, with denials, with lies, with a loss of transparency, and that this had to stop somewhere.
We talked about
it. And the buck stopped there.
In the end in Afghanistan. And this is just a long line, and that's part of that book. It didn't start with Watergate. It's the CIA overthrowing legitimate governments and installing dictators. And, I always say, what's the difference between Saddam and Noriega? The answer is not much. A language.
Exactly.
But we've done this, and it always leads to the CIA and Jack Kennedy following the Bay of Pigs. And also the organized crime people. And, I come back to Nixon. Wouldn't you always want to know, what did Nixon really know? Not what people wrote about or what people publicly said, but what Nixon truly knew. Cantina Zachary is with us. What do you think he would say?
I think he knew quite a deal, a bit, about politics in general, and certainly about how things had been running through the Eisenhower administration. And he had a great deal more power as vice president, I think, than most people realized. He was the one that was very much involved in pushing the Bay of Pigs.
You bet. Was his plan. So, Pigs was his plan.
Exactly. Yeah. And he anticipated being in the White House to make sure this was implemented.
Yep.
And who's to say whether it wouldn't have been followed exactly and how things might have changed out. It could have been a disaster. It might have worked the way they thought it would. Mm-hmm. There's no way for us to know. But it just threw the military into a spin when Nixon didn't get elected.
And also, Jack Kennedy backs down when the Pigs invasion takes place. And according to a lot of the diaries, they could see the fleet, and the fleet never came in to help them.
Exactly. And some of the letters and radio reports that they kept, are heartbreaking. When someone is saying, look, we're about to go down.
Yeah.
If you don't come now, it's now or never. And it was never.
But the CIA had promised them. And I've read all the stuff about, and they used the black gangs again. Bush and Cheney used the black gangs to snatch people and torture them into saying and telling them about weapons and Saddam's role and all this kind of stuff. And they had the original black budget guys when the CIA had, and they called them the black gangs. And the stories are because they were on the black budgets. They were real as hell. They existed. They were there.
I know, and that's probably some of the things that the government was hoping we would never find out about.
Bingo.
That's why so
Bingo.
Many documents are still being hidden.
Oh, please!
But we have found out about it.
The same thing is true with how Bush and Cheney suppressed. And look at the Warren Commission and the 9/11 Commission. I see them in the same light.
Yes, most people do now, I think.
Yeah, George Bush and Dick Cheney lied their rear ends off. The Warren Commission is almost considered a joke now, isn't it?
I would say to most people who have actually read it. Now, Peter, you'd be shocked how many even researchers will say, I'm not going to even read that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a piece of trash.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm not going to argue with
it.
You, but you have to read
it. You got to read it,
in order to argue.
Yeah, and the 9/11 Commission were, I see the same, here's my problem in the world is I see it again and again and again and again. And if you look at what you're talking about, you're so great at it, Cantina Zachary, The Lone Star Speaks, is the same trick that was pulled on the 9/11 Commission was pulled in the Warren Commission.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. You can't blame all of the Warren Commission because of information they weren't given.
That's right.
And let's face it, there were some people who, even at the very beginning, did not believe that they had all of the evidence right in the Warren Commission, and they said so. Richard Russell, who was on the committee,
yep,
was one of the main ones who was tried to refuse to sign it.
Wouldn't
Lyndon
sign it.
Johnson admitted he didn't really, you know, believe all of it either. Robert Kennedy didn't believe
it. Oh, of course not.
One of the people we talked to was the Assistant Attorney General of Texas, Robert Davis. And Warren Wagner, Wagner Carr, sent him to serve on the committee in his place. And he got to help interview witnesses. And he came back in 3 months and said, Wagner, it's the biggest whitewash I've ever seen. Lyndon Johnson's running everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people knew even then, but it was in print. Everyone amened it, even including Robert Kennedy. And that convinced people, well, if the Kennedy family, agrees with this, it must be right.
I'm gonna tell a story to you that I've told a half a dozen times. Years ago, Bill Owens was the governor of Colorado, and we did a contest, one state, one book. Everybody's going to read the book, and then we're going to talk about it. And we chose Snow in August as Pete Hamill's book. And it's a it's a wonderful book. It's about a little Irish kid growing up in Brooklyn, and it's the year Jackie Robinson crosses the color line. And
yes, I remember that.
All right, so we fly Pete Hamill. I swear to you, I got witnesses. We fly Pete Hamill to talk. And there's a thing called, there's a ballroom here called Ellie Calkins, sold it out. We're sitting backstage. There's Governor had two state patrolmen, one of my dearest friends, a guy named Dan Hopkins, and Danny was press secretary. Governor Owens, Pete Hamill, me. I'd had heart surgery, my heart surgeon's wife. True story.
Wow.
Pete Hamill sitting there. And he dated Jackie Kennedy. This is, you know, freight up.
Yes, I knew that.
And I said to him, I said, what did Jackie Kennedy believe about the murder of her husband? He didn't even blink. He said, Jackie Kennedy believed the conspiracy. True story. And witnesses
yes,
were the...
I don't doubt that. And Pete Hamill would have known he was concerned.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But he said she believed the conspiracy. She didn't believe Oswald did it by himself. And that's, the Governor Owens, and, I mean, that's, there was five or six witnesses to that story. And he floored me because, I mean, I'm a huge Pete Hamill fan. And I said, of course.
The situation with that, Peter, is at that time, if Jackie Kennedy had come forward and said this was a conspiracy, everybody in the world would have believed it. So she had a reason for not doing that. Part of it was she was scared to death, particularly after Bobby was killed.
Worried about the kids. They're worried about the kids.
We're going to be next.
That's right.
But there was another reason. There were things in the administration that Bobby and Teddy and the rest of the Kennedy staff did not want to come out. And, of course, she wasn't going to do anything but build that Kennedy legacy, not let it be torn down. And I think that was one of the premise of our books is that the secrets that the Kennedy administration had to hide are part of why we couldn't get to the truth about his death.
No, I agree. And the thing about the Saudi Arabians never allowed, I mean, when Bush and Cheney won't go under oath in front of the commission and they only will be interviewed together and they have to go, you have to go to the White House. They couldn't bring them before the Senate and the House Select. I mean, that was the dead giveaway. And to watch him give that speech at Shanksville, I mean, it's like, and they just get away with it. And
yeah, and how many of the private citizens could ever have that luxury?
Not a chance. You and I'd be hanging upside down, right? So
you better believe that.
No. I mean, I love having you on the show. Cantana Zachary's with us. Lone Star Speaks. I'm going to take a turnaround, and I don't want to lead this. I mean, I got tons of questions, but I want you to speak. I mean, I do believe, like I said, that the repetitiveness of history and this idea of the final hours. And Lyndon Johnson, to me, has always been this really interesting. And how much he and Bobby, how about we start here? Lyndon Johnson, Bobby Kennedy hated each other. I mean, not just didn't like each other, hated each other. And what that meant, what that meant to all of this. I love this woman. Billy, you got her. It's your chance now to save big as a homeowner. It's true. Rates are incredibly low, meaning You can save up to $1,000 a month. You have to call American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. Talk to the mortgage-based consultants and customer loan options and learn all the things you can do. Benefit from mortgage refis. With inflation doing what it's doing, who knows? You need to keep the number down. Lower your monthly payment. Shut down the time you want to, you know, have to pay off. If you're heading to retirement, do this. No upfront, no hidden fees. A simple conversation around your financial goals. How much you can save thanks to today's low rates. Lock into low rates now before they're gone. Pre-qualify in as little as 10 minutes. 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000. Online or AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate. Lock this down today, 303-695-7000. The hour, Friday morning, 17 September, 75 and cooler, and great. I mean, this woman, we should have her on minimum once a month. But Danny Kaplis' law firm, the law firm of Dan Kaplis and Company, guys are the best of the best, and thousands of innocent people are killed, injured every year in truck, car, motorcycle accidents. And the long, successful track record of Danny and his firm, they won the largest jury verdict in truck accident case history in Denver and Colorado, $25 million. Everybody knows that one horrible wreck. Death and destruction, numerous out-of-state and out-of-court settlements. People don't want to screw with Danny. They know he's a winner. If it's you, if it's your family, when my family went through it, Danny was, I mean, I told stories, 9 o'clock at night, he'd call my daughter and talk. Nobody better, the Kaplis Law Firm, serious firm for serious cases, righteous cases, percentage fee basis. Good people from all walks of life benefit from the vast resources, and he's just a good man. If you need Dan's help, call him, 303-907-5003, 303-907-5003, or hit dankaplislaw.com, 303-907-5003. It's Kaplis, C-A-P-L-I-S. Our guest is wonderful. This is her second appearance, and I'm talking to Billy. We should just book you once a month. The book isn't, I'm serious, no, I'm not making that up. Lone Star Speaks, The Untold Texas Stories of the JFK Assassination. Cantana Zachary is with us. You know, and I changed my mind during the break. I want you to talk about Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover, how I think is my, I just begin there. J. Edgar Hoover, the Kennedys, and then the murder of Jack Kennedy, if you would.
Well, J. Edgar Hoover, you know, was a hero to many. In fact, believe it or not, I was talking to an FBI agent a few years ago and asking what the latter-day thinking on Hoover was, and he still said, oh, he was a great leader for the FBI. We all respected him. So there was no point getting into the fact that there were lots of secrets Hoover had that he could have been blackmailed with himself and probably was by the mob, yeah, because he kept a hands-off attitude towards them. But yes, he and the Kennedys did not jive, even though he went way back with Joseph Kennedy. You know, they were pretty supportive of each other. Yeah. But I think you have to remember, or at least in our opinion, it seems to us that even J. Edgar Hoover answered to someone. Now, he ran the FBI with an iron fist. There were too many FBI agents who later admitted, we did some things like twist arms of the Parkland doctors to get them to change their testimony about the wounds because J. Edgar Hoover ordered us to. We changed people's testimonies because we were ordered to.
Oh, absolutely.
So, obviously, he didn't want a thorough investigation, but you have to wonder if there are people who basically tell the president and the head of the FBI and maybe even the head of the CIA, this is what's going to be done. And they answer to those people.
Yeah. Hoover, I don't think there's much doubt in my mind, and not because in today's terms it wouldn't matter, but back in the 30s and actually the 20s, he's a Pomeroy guy, you know, he's gay, and possibly a cross-dresser. And
that's what I've heard. There are photos of
There's pictures, allegedly pictures of him. And long story short, the mob had him. And there's stories about him going to the track, and he would send people to make heavy bets, and he'd make he'd send an agent to the window, you know, $5 window or something. But in the meantime, and the mob's fixing horses for him, and they had him. He never chased organized crime. He never went after what people call the mafia or the outfit out of Chicago. But we know what he did to Dr. King. I mean, that stuff is all available. And they would bring in reports, and somebody would say this is not the report that Mr. Hoover wants, and they'd go back and write a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's all true. Having said that,
he hated the fact that Robert Kennedy ordered him around, even though as head of the Justice Department, he certainly should have. But that was not what he was used to be. He wasn't used to being treated like that.
So, as the story goes, Hoover calls Bobby Kennedy at home and says, "Your brother's dead." Boom. Just like that.
Well, I think he told him first that he had been shot.
That was it. Yeah. Serious. Then called him back. Yeah.
Yeah. And then called him back and just said he's dead, basically.
Because at that point, Hoover's real friend was Lyndon Johnson.
Yes. And someone made the comment that Bobby Kennedy's just another attorney now.
Now he's just another lawyer. Yeah. God. So who killed Jack Kennedy and why?
Well, he had so many. This is the irony of someone who overnight became a martyr, and the story you still read, beloved president, loved by all. He wasn't loved by all by a long shot. No president ever is. But I think he had more than his share of enemies. Some maybe he had earned. Some just came with the fact that they didn't want him elected to begin with. I don't think there was ever any intention when you think about people who seem to have some control over our elections for him to have ever won. But as a woman who worked with Johnson told us, they were better. Kennedys were better organized.
Oh, yeah.
They had more money.
Yeah.
They didn't have the political background that Johnson had, and he thought that would carry some weight, but it didn't with the delegates. And like she said, he also had that mob that was supporting him.
Oh, yeah.
But in all fairness, Nixon had some supporting him, too.
Yes, he did.
But I don't think Nixon had the enemies as well. Even, I mean, it's ironic. Nixon's the one that gets impeached, but JFK gets killed. JFK had enemies ranging from the CIA to organized crime to anti-Castro Cubans.
I agree.
Even people like the right wing General Edwin Walker, the oil men, all of these people wanted him out of office. Now, whether they wanted him out badly enough to kill him, well, obviously somebody did. And then, of course, he had an enemy within his own camp. Lyndon Johnson was afraid he was fixing to be removed from the party.
Yeah.
And probably he was going to be asked to. One of his assistants, Horace Busby, a man that knew him well, has said that Johnson had planned on offering his resignation to Kennedy that weekend at the Lyndon Ranch, and that he hoped that Kennedy would say, no, we need you on the bill to carry the South again. But there's no guarantee of that. Mm. And, of course, that didn't come about. Lucky break for Johnson. One thing you can think of is that whoever took care of getting rid of Kennedy did not want to harm the Democratic Party. It was people that could work better with Johnson than they could work with Kennedy, but they didn't want the Republicans to come in because of a backlash.
Katana Zachary is here. Lone Star Speak. Do you believe the theory that Jack Kennedy was going to break up the CIA following pigs also because of Vietnam? And as people would say, Lyndon Johnson's in office when the Gulf of Tonkin, another lie like Saddam has weapons, those things happen. And the belief is that Lyndon Johnson could be talked into things that Jack Kennedy could not be talked into, and that Jack Kennedy was going to pull back out of Southeast Asia, although, you know, that's one of the things people debate, and that he was so fed with the CIA that he was going to break it, quote, into a million pieces. What do you do with those?
Yes, there is some evidence that he wanted his brother Bobby to move over as head of CIA.
Yep.
Now, you can imagine from insider's point of view, J. Edgar Hoover would have been the first one to say, I'll be glad to get rid of him, but God help you with him over the CIA. Because I think he would have been as tough on them as he was on the FBI. So I'm sure they did not want that to happen. And they also didn't want some of the secrets that they kept from even the president to come out, which it would have if someone close to him had taken over the CIA.
What do you do with the Dulles brothers?
With the what?
The Dulles brothers, John Foster and his brother. What do you do with them?
Well, you know, Alan Dulles had been very good friends with the Kennedy family until Kennedy got into office. And both of them had a great deal of power. I think it is odd that, and there's a controversy over this, did Lyndon Johnson push Alan Dulles on the Warren Commission?
Yeah, he did.
Or I think so.
Yeah.
Did Bobby Kennedy suggest him because he knew he would cover for the CIA?
Wow, that's good.
And Bobby needed that CIA covered, whether he liked it or not.
Because they put Alan Dulles. Alan Dulles goes on the Warren Commission after he has been removed as the head of the CIA.
Exactly.
And his brother's still alive.
He still had so much clout with the CIA that he could protect any information he needed to protect.
But he knew. But we earlier on, we were talking about the so-called black gangs, and that was all Alan Dulles stuff.
Yes, very much so.
And they were training. I mean, they had already overthrown the Arbenz government in Guatemala. And there was a duly elected government, and this is why watching what happened in Afghanistan to people that spend time reading is not a surprise. But there was a duly elected government in Guatemala, and the guy's name was Arbenz, and the CIA overthrew him with force. And, and it's interesting that many of the Bay of Pigs people trained. They trained in that country as well.
Yes, they did. Oh, yeah, and I don't think that is coincidence.
No. So what do you do with what the CIA is doing all around the world?
I don't know if there's any way you can control a group like that because they have so many secrets and so much plausible deniability among themselves. They don't even know who they all are.
Great.
I don't know how. It's like a spider web. I don't know how you would ever control rogue agents or just the fact that they've been used to doing with unlimited funds anything they wanted to do.
No, and they were called black budgets, and they still exist.
Yes.
And that's why they got the jacket, the black gangs. And even in Southeast Asia, there was something called the Phoenix Projects, and they were murder groups, and they were CIA murder groups. And they murdered they murdered people at the behest of some phony government in Saigon or some CIA operative, and they were murdering people in Southeast Asia. And
yes, we visited with a witness who told us he was part of that Phoenix program.
Of course it was.
And he was used for exactly that purpose.
They recruited killers. There's a wonderful book called Embassy House. They recruited killers. They recruited psychotics and used them.
Yes, and this man was one of those.
No, they brought people out of prisons. This is all, you know, this is why I am so disgusted with my government and what it's capable of doing, and the lies that they tell, and watching everybody get hatted up about Afghanistan. Afghanistan wasn't a surprise. If you go back and do what you've done with your life, and this isn't a surprise.
But I suppose it is to every new generation.
Maybe.
If you don't study history.
Thank you. All the craziness that swirls around has all happened before.
Yeah. It may not have repeated, but it certainly rhymed.
I love you. Katina Zachary, the Lone Star, speaks. And so in the end, when Pat Gray becomes the director of the FBI, and he walks out and he says, there's no secret files. Remember that moment?
Yes. It should have been Saturday Night Live stand-up moment.
Yeah. I mean, it was, what a lie. What happened to all of those files that Hoover kept? What do you think?
I think Helen Gandy, his secretary, destroyed them.
Or they moved them.
I don't think they would have dared. Clyde Tolliver would not have dared leave those.
Oh,
he was too ill himself.
And Jack's dead. Bobby's Bobby. Nixon's in office. Hoover dies. and they appoint L. Patrick Gray.
Yes.
And they can't tell the truth even then, can they?
Well, I'm not sure they feel like they can, Peter.
Wow, I love that.
Nobody wants to admit this.
I watch it again.
That brings us to one of the things we're involved in now is that we're part of a group of historical researchers and attorneys that are being led by Dr. Lawrence Snopp from New York, who is encouraging Biden to insist that these last documents be opened.
I hope.
You know, we've been waiting since the JFK Act in 1992.
Yeah.
And Congress said that there was only two kinds of records that they were going to keep exempt, IRS-related documents and records of gifts that had been donated under, you know, the provision that they would not be disclosed. And yet, we still don't have all the records released.
That's true.
And for once, Congress made something plain and blunt when it said, only in the rarest of cases is there any legitimate need for continued protection. That was said in 1992.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, they allowed certain documents to be postponed. And boy, did the government take advantage of that.
Yeah.
But even those were supposed to have been revealed by 2017. Guess who pressured President Trump from releasing all the documents?
I don't
the
know.
The FBI and the CIA.
Okay, all right. That makes sense.
The FBI and the CIA,
sure.
The same people who basically had investigated themselves in the pre-investigation.
I said that about the 9/11 Commission when I'm not a fan of Donald Trump's right now, but I voted for him two times, and When he ran the first time, he said, if you elect me, I'll tell you who really knocked those buildings down.
Yeah.
And then nothing. And now, and I'm by no stretch of an imagination a Joe Biden fan, but he did release at least part of those papers on the Saudi Arabian involvement. Now, how many years did they lie about that, Quintana?
Decades, I think.
Yeah, me too, 20 years.
Yeah.
And yet the Kennedy stuff is still hidden out. And then, by the way,
go ahead.
I was going to say most of the suppression continues on the 9/11 Commission. But you think, my God, all these years later, and they still suppress Kennedy.
Exactly. And so you have to wonder. I know we hear national security, but we're talking 58
please.
Years later.
Yeah, please.
That doesn't hold up much longer. But it took something like Oliver Stone's movie JFK.
Yeah.
To get the JFK Act even enacted.
And even then.
So what Dr. Schnapp and our group are trying to do, and I'm sure lots of others are too, is try to get President Biden to understand that this is not a political issue.
That is.
The Democrats, the Republicans, independents all agree they want these records released, and they deserve to have them released. And so we're all looking for October to see what will happen. But there's a date that's more important than even October. And it's coming up imminently. September 26th is the date when the National Archivist is supposed to make his recommendation to the White House on whether another postponement can be put into place.
I guarantee.
And, of course, these postponements can go on forever. So we have a White House switchboard telephone number we'd be happy to share with your listeners, because we're hoping that people will do by calling in what Oliver Stone's film JFK did, get a renewed interest in getting these documents released.
Let me take a quick turnaround. You do that and tell the audience what you think would be in those documents. She's wonderful. We're going to book her on a repeating basis. The Ribble Group, Keller Williams Realty, DTC. I love this phone number, 833-301-SOLD, 833-301-SOLD. Or visit gayhasthebuyers.com. The real estate market continues to change, and now be a great time to sell your home. Even if you're just looking, you want to figure out what you want to do. We had lunch, the Ribble Group, Gay and Sarah, and it's time right now to sell your home. You need 24-hour cash offers, no problem, pick up the phone. I love the number 833-301-SOLD, 833-301-SOLD. The web is gayhasthebuyers.com. It's Gay and Sarah. And they guarantee to sell your home 100% of your list price, so they paid a difference. If you're buying, selling, you need to talk to somebody. They are such great people. The Ribble Group. You got a question, call them. Easy number, 833-301-SOLD. 833-301-SOLD. Any question answered, 833-301-SOLD, or visit Gaye, G-A-Y-E, hasthebuyers.com. All right, 10 before the hour, 710 KNUS, Cantana Zachary. The Lone Star speaks next time she'd do the show for 2 hours. All right, give the number, and then if we were able to see what is in those suppressed records, what would we see? Cantana, it's all yours.
If it doesn't end in S-O-L-D, that'd be pretty bad for the White House.
Yeah.
The number is 202-456-1111. Or you can do like I've done. You can also contact the White House by email on their contact, whitehouse.gov. And I just put into writing why I thought it was time these had to finally be released.
And now because
either way,
because of time, because we're going to come up on time, what do you think we will see or see?
I think a great deal of it will be redacted. But like anything else, these are the records that they wanted held tightest, closest to the vest. So there have to be things in there about activities that took place, people who were used in these activities that they did not want the public to know about.
Yeah. The secrets that have been held and the secrets that continue are the scariest.
Yeah, if these are the rarest of the rare, and that's why they've been withheld, then they have to be the most valuable.
And it rolls straight forward into 9/11. 9/11 Commission suppression, and now the craziness that we're watching today.
Exactly. They don't want us to see patterns, because patterns tell you things are not coincidences.
Yeah, and I've been saying that. I mean, we can begin any place you want to begin. In the Philippines, you want to begin in Panama, you want to begin in Somoza, you want to begin in Batista in Cuba, you want to start with the Salazars in Portugal. You know, where do you want to go? The Shah? And it just continues and continues and continues. Saddam was our guy. And I watch these same people manipulate. And to me, it's just disgusting. And I listen to the anger on talk radio and I think, have you never read anything?
That's true.
Truly. I mean, do you feel that way sometimes?
Yes. And working in the education field, I know how little people have read.
Oh my God.
And you can't depend on your history books, because there's not enough in there.
I mean, someday we meet, I love you. And, you know, if you're sitting on this side of the mic for the last 7-8 months, I'm thinking, what have you people lost track of? And the answer is that, you know, we bend the truth to meet our will, not to truth to examine like you have done and talked about. There's a truth out
there.
Exactly. And it's very scary. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
I think that is what's so scary, that if you don't know the truth, you're living a lie.
Yeah. And the people that perpetuate those, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I someday we'll talk and I could share what this has been about, but the inability to construct the truth. And there's a story told, and then the story becomes the truth, and it's not. And it saddens me. You're wonderful.
Yes, they used to say once you saw it in print, you could believe it. Yeah. Now, if you see it on the internet, you can believe it. Well, none of that's true.
Or hear it on talk radio.
The book. That's one of the few places left where people can express an honest opinion.
But even then, the Lone Star speaks. I'll talk to you. We're doing 2 hours next time. Cantana, take care of yourself. You made the week happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Enjoyed it.
All right, everybody. Episode 3 of The Shoot with Sean Duffy. This weekend, the Republican Party goes to Pueblo. That'll be a hoot. And the honor run is a week from this coming Sunday. Go ride a motorcycle. Put everything in the breeze. Thanks, Billy Thorpe. 75 the high today. Might have to put the leather on. It's kind of chilly out there. Stephens afternoon, the weekend begins. See you guys. Thanks.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.